an insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL Lunch.
Cooked you a turducken. Oh, there it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio. 105.7 The Fan.
We'll look at the scores from yesterday. Do tonight's picks as well as we get you through the wild card round of the NFL playoffs. We also have the national championship game set. College football, Indiana and Miami. That's a week from tonight in Miami. So a home game for the Hurricanes here. Number one team in the country, the Indiana Hoosiers, rolling along nicely. Thank you very much. And as we, you know, get closer to the draft, Nolan, Mendoza appears to be the top quarterback on the board. Dante Moore is yet to decide what he's going to do at Oregon. Minnie Mahomes, by the way, Dylan Raiola transferred to Oregon, made that official on Instaface today, transferring out of Nebraska after 2 years.
So unless he views himself as a backup, I would assume that means that Moore's heading to the NFL. I don't know why Oregon would, you know, make the strong effort to bring in a Raiola if they knew that Moore was going to stay. So I think the indication's already been made. Yeah, he's already told them his plans.
And this is a situation, too, where Mel Kiper Jr.'s got Moore as the second-rated prospect on his big board, where this isn't a, well, he'd be better off staying in college because he'll make more in NIL. No, you're going to be the second pick in the draft. You're going to get paid crazy money here. Assuming Mendoza goes first, of course.
You know, I mean, he might have been able to stand on his own even in a normal quarterback class, but with how weak this year is, could even end up being weaker than last year, which is hard to wrap my mind around. Yeah, I mean, there's no shame in taking the opportunity to be considered number two behind the Heisman winner.
So we'll get into all of that in the next few weeks for sure. But as Nolan asked last hour, who is the coach that's been linked to Baltimore that you don't want? You're Matt Nagy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Mike McDaniel. Just take you now. I'm not feeling it. 3 years ago, I'd have been like, boy, he's an interesting guy. A little quirky, kind of, you know, is what he is. The Capris kind of throw me off a little bit, but I don't want to judge him based on
much.
I don't want to judge him based on his wardrobe, for sure. I'm more concerned with the fact that his team's kind of gone in the tank the last 3 years, and his quarterback has regressed into a tongue of Iola, and now it looks like neither one of them's going to be around. Well, McDaniel definitely is out, but Tua's probably out the door with him soon.
And that's why you can't just obsess over the X's and O's, or this guy's the top offensive mind, or this guy's the top defensive mind, and he's got all these great, you know, plays drawn up and all these great concepts and ideas. But if you can't lead a locker room and you can't keep them united heading into the most important part of the season routinely, Miami would collapse towards the end of the season. And I think a big part of that is them being a warm weather team and not handling the cold weather environments very well. But that's not the whole story. There's way more to it that led to their demise, and it starts with coaching.
Let's get out to the phones. Let's go to Ed in Towson. Ed, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
All right.
I think that, just like you said, you know, I know a lot of guys that X and O really well. I mean, you know, I'm not a big – I can X and O, but I can make the player pay better. I can motivate the player to play better, and I think that's the thing you got to look at when you're bringing in a head coach. I would have to say, if you come in, if I'm a head coach perspective getting interviewed, I would want to have a conversation with Bashadi, with nobody else in the room, including DaCosta. I want to have a talk with him, and I want to ask him, okay, yo, the last three or four, I paid attention to the guys you picked the last several years. You had some wins, without a doubt. We can highlight those wins. All right, Lamar Jackson, so on and so on. But the things that are plaguing your team right now are based upon the lineage of the guys that you picked. And if you looked at, like, who are your advanced scouts? Because I would want to bring in my guys if I have a vision of what you're doing wrong. I mean, the average fan has a vision of what they're doing wrong, and they don't do any scouting. So I would have to say, just like you said, Noah, I would have to run the room. How much are they going to let the incoming coach run the room, or is it like, okay, well, this is the way we do things, and we really don't want to change a lot from that. We just need to get back to the playoffs, because that's a confusing prospect, because you see the guys that they weren't successful with picking. So how much of a say-so am I going to have with Eric DeCostas' decision-making if I think some of them are suspect? Are you going to allow me that, or do I need to stay in my corner and just be happy with what you bring my way? That's what I would ask. I would want to have a meeting with Beside that may never happen. Those kind of things may not happen. But I think that's got to be very important because you're leading the team. Like you just said, you're leading the team, and it makes a difference. So I don't know. That's my take on it. But, you know, they're going to do what they want.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Ed. And maybe we'll get some clarity tomorrow when DeCosta and Pichotti meet with the media. Or maybe not.
Probably
be a lot of vague, yeah. As Dan Conley always says, nebulous responses here.
Yeah. And, I mean, I don't know. Like, compare it to baseball, where all we were talking about with the Orioles hiring process is, oh, are they just going to get a pushover? Are they going to get somebody that just wants to do what Elias and others in the front office want? I don't see that anywhere in football. You know, it could exist for some teams, but I think for the most part, whether you're a brand new head coach, a retread, anything in between, you know, it's kind of expected that you have a pretty good say in come draft time. You know, ultimately the scouts, they're the ones that are boots on the ground looking at these players. The GM is the one that pulls the trigger in drafting these guys. But all head coaches have a very strong voice when it comes to that sort of stuff.
Yeah, what do you need? What do we have to get in here to succeed?
If the Ravens weren't giving that to a head coaching hire or any team wasn't offering that, then why would any head coach want to go there? And because, again, that's not the norm. Like, in baseball, I think that is more of the modern norm. You know, people beat up on the Orioles for it, but that's just baseball in general, where the GMs are running more of the show than ever. Football, the precedent, there is no precedent for that. I mean, if you had a team that tried to do that and I was a candidate, I'd give you the middle finger and say, nah, I'm out.
Unless it's Matt Nagy, and you give him the middle finger to begin with. Anyway, we'll come back, look at our picks for this past weekend. Dude, tonight's game as well. Used to take it on the Steelers in Pittsburgh. Texans 3-point favorites there. Then we'll talk some sports. Maryland style with Jeff Ehrman, InsideMDSports.com. Basketball team struggled over the weekend. The Maryland men looks like this could be a season-long struggle.
Vinny and Haney's football pick'em starts now. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Well, 3 years running during the regular season, during our pick segment here on the show, it's not going well for the old Bobster. And really bottomed out this year. 20-some games out of first place. I was the Colorado Rockies.
22. Who's counting?
I was the Rockies this year. Brutal. Dreadful. Unacceptable. But there's a new season. And it's a baseball term, but hope springs eternal. So we're in a new season, which is the playoffs. And I didn't win it 2 years ago. I think you did. Either way.
I'm the king of the postseason.
It's been a long time coming. So let's look back at how things went, Nolan, over this past weekend with still a game left to be decided here.
Well, we both did fairly well, one more than the other. I'll start with the Rams and the Panthers here. Both of us picking the Rams, but neither of us thought that it would be as closely contested as it was. Where Carolina actually took the lead with, 3 minutes to go, and forced Matthew Stafford to have an MVP moment.
Yeah, Parkinson.
Game-winning drive.
With the game-winning TD there, the spread was 10.5. L.A. didn't even come close to covering that one. So if you're, like, house money, we've been using that term a lot last week or so, you're Carolina, you are playing with house money. Counting Saturday's loss, they've lost, four of their last five games? But they still get into the playoffs, and Nolan not only get into the playoffs, represented themselves quite nicely. So if you're Dave Canales and Bryce Young, et cetera, McMillan's a great young player, you got something to hang your hat on, and you look ahead to next year in that division, the NFC South. I mean, I would have to think, depending on what you do in the offseason to improve your talent base, they're going to have to be considered to be, you know, very worthy of possibly repeating as champions.
Well, now, if I'm building that team, I've got all the evidence I need to say, all right, let's get really aggressive when we build up this roster for next year. Because division, case in point, not just this year, that division has been very weak for quite a while now. And all it's really taken to win it is 9 wins this year, even less, right? It was 8 wins to get the win. So I'm looking at what the other teams around me are doing, and look, Atlanta's in flux. Tampa Bay is always in the conversation. Saints could be on the rise with the quarterback. So we'll see how it changes. But I think for the most part, I'd expect that division to still be on the weaker side compared to the rest. And, you know, still a losing result. But what I saw out of Bryce Young in the big stage, that gives me even more confidence, where now in the span of a couple of years, he's gone from someone who looks like a bust to, he can hold his own, to, okay, franchise quarterback, to now actually showed up in the big moment in the playoffs. So really good progression from him in such a short amount of time. But I now have all the evidence. There's no doubt in my mind, if I'm building that team, that we have the core. We just need what we need to push it over the top, so to speak. Where if you still had reservations like, Bryce Young's not quite the guy, then I'm not going to go all out with spending, or I'm not going to be aggressive, maybe looking to flip draft picks for a player or something like that. But now they could be in that camp.
Also on Saturday night, Green Bay blew a big lead in the second half. Caleb Williams, his first playoff game, he had a big moment. DJ Moore, former Maryland Terrapin, had the game-winning touchdown reception. Jordan Love, brilliant in defeat. Four touchdown passes coming back from a protocol, but in the end, not enough for the Packers as their season ends. But Matt LaFleur, Adam Schefter, ESPN, reporting that Green Bay's not trying to get rid of him. If anything, they're trying to give him a contract extension. So there were some whispers that Matt LaFleur could be on the outs, at least today, Nolan. I mean, things are subject to change. A week ago today, we didn't think John Harbaugh was getting fired, and he was gone 24 hours later. At least for now, it looks like Matt LaFleur is staying in Green Bay with the Pack.
Yeah, and I even leading up to the game, I was kind of thinking, even if they lose, that I had a hard time seeing them be out. But then the manner in which they lost, that gave me some pause, where you blow the 18-point lead. At that point, I thought, well, hey, he actually could be out. All bets are off. Seems to be another pretty loyal organization that they would still view this year overall, that there was enough there to hold on to LaFleur. What I don't understand, and you see it all the time, but because LaFleur 26 would be the last year of his contract, that they, we got to extend this guy before the year just so we don't have a lame duck situation. Why does that matter in the NFL? I get it for college recruiting purposes. You have to have that security and that presence, but why should it matter in the NFL? In my opinion, I would want him entering next year with the thought that, no, I'm coaching for my job. You know, I want that fire under his rear end.
Well, it just because you get extended, Ravens, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to keep your job either. John Harbaugh felt that sting last week. But to your point, you know, if I'm a Packers fan, for instance, I want Matt LaFleur going in going, hey, we don't make the playoffs, or we get to the playoffs and we gack another 18-point lead away, your ass is done here.
So again, yeah, I mean, why am I throwing that money around? Because you're absolutely right. It doesn't prevent you from firing a guy, but what are we just signing checks just to do it? I mean, where's the...
They are billionaires.
Yes, as we know.
Sunday, Buffalo coming from behind to beat Jacksonville as the Bills handle their business. First road playoff win for them since the 1992 AFC Championship game when they beat the Dolphins to Dan Marino down there. So the Bills behind a gutty effort from Josh Allen, threw a touchdown pass, ran for two more. Heartbreaking loss for the Jags there.
Yeah, it's tough for them. I mean, I mention it now because it's getting talked about way too much today, but this whole side story of Liam Cohen's postgame presser, did you see this, where the one media member was not really asking questions? Like
consoling him.
Yeah, say, hey, hold your head up. You had a great season, which it just kept going and going. Like, I think somebody said it was only like 15, 20 seconds, but when I was listening to it, it felt like an eternity. I was cringing internally. I'm like, all right, come on, wrap it up. Ask a question. Do something else. And even Liam Cohen's standing there like, you know, playing along, being respectful. But he's probably in his head like, please shut up. Like, we just lost in the playoffs.
She showed a human side.
I know. But then it sparked this whole, if I'm getting way off track here, but it sparked this whole debate where you have some people like Pat McAfee saying, well, what's the big deal? It shows an emotional side. Like, it's just, that's not the time and the place. You want to share that message to the coach, that's fine. You do it as he's walking off the podium, or you catch him in the hallway, say, hey, you know, nothing to be ashamed of this year, just outsider's opinion, you did very well. But in that forum where you're being broadcast publicly, and you're taking time away from other people who have questions, Nonetheless, good win for the Bills.
Yes, there you go. San Francisco at Philadelphia. This spread actually got up to 5.5. And the 49ers, they come from behind, get the win, breaking out some trickery there. Jennings touchdown pass to McCaffrey. And then Purdy hits McCaffrey, which proved to be the winning touchdown. Unfortunately, in the win, George Kittle ruptured Achilles. Certainly going to miss the rest of the playoffs and probably will miss a big chunk of 2026. And A.J. Brown and Nick Sirianni got into it again.
Yes. Yeah, we talked to Howard Balzer earlier, and he seemed to think that the Kittle thing might not be as big of a to-do because of Christian McCaffrey and the impact that he's made this year. But I look at the game for him last night, it wasn't anything crazy. I mean, he's got his touches with 15 carries, but only 48 yards. Didn't find the end zone. It was more effective through the air. He got his touchdowns there. But running the ball against a good Eagles defense, I didn't see anything there that was like, oh, yeah, we can just ride this guy to a Super Bowl. And they've got another tough defense coming up here in Seattle. So I don't think it's a guarantee at all that you just say, give the ball to McCaffrey and we'll be all right. They're going to have to get creative again.
Keep throwing it to D-Rob. So what happened yesterday. And finally, if you missed it last night, New England over the Chargers, they win that one 16-3. Justin Herbert now 0-3 in his playoff career. So, yes, that officially has become a thing.
Yes, and rightfully so. Yeah. I mean, the Greg Roman part of it, that's a part of the narrative. But for Herbert, I'm not even an anti-Herbert guy.
Well, he seems like a nice guy.
Quite frankly, don't really have a reason to dislike him. But if he's going to be talked about in that same class or have a chance to break into that truly elite where he's being compared to, you know, Allen, Lamar, Burrow, Mahomes, whoever's the top guys, that's where that gap is for me, where it's those clear-cut four. And then I'd say the gap between four and whoever you want to say is five any given year, and it has changed quite a bit, in my opinion. That's a sizable gap, and for reasons like this. And I understand people, well, what about Lamar? Lamar's come up short in the playoffs. Yes. But he's had moments that are better than this. He has had some wins.
Sure.
I mean, and again, we beat like a dead horse here, but the MVPs do have to matter. So until a Justin Herbert is able to match that in terms of regular season accolades, then yeah, I'm going to have Lamar ahead.
5-0 was the old Bobster here.
Yeah.
For the first wave of
good
games.
Start.
Yeah.
Good
let's
start.
See if we can keep it rolling, Nolan. Tonight, Houston at Pittsburgh. Spreads are just for entertainment purposes only. We're just picking winners. Who you got?
Yeah, I think we said this on Friday, and I'm not changing my opinion. I'm sticking with the Texans. There's nothing that's come out injury-wise that would lead me to change my opinion. I know some people say, well, you know, Mike Tomlin on Monday nights is a very good track record there. You maybe give the Steelers a little bit of an advantage being at home. But I don't really see it that way. What I see is the best defense in the league going up against an old, immobile quarterback. And sure, he's got DK Metcalf back at his disposal, but I just don't think it's enough. You know, I think this Texans team is red hot right now. They know exactly who they are. CJ Stroud does have some pretty quality playoff performances under his belt. He doesn't concern me at all here, and he's playing good ball, so I'm still leaning Texans for sure.
Yeah, if they get something out of Woody Marks to give him at least a semblance of a running game, Nico Collins, I expect, will have his moments to shine because we saw last Sunday Zay Flowers was running all over that Pittsburgh defensive backfield. I'm with you. Let's go, Houston. We'll come back, shift gears, talk some Terps. Basketball teams both lose over the weekend. For Buzz Williams, his team's winless in the Big Ten. Is there any hope to possibly turning things around, given the fact that they can't hit threes and their best player hasn't played in like 3 weeks? Other than that, everything's great. From InsideMDSports.com, let's welcome back to the show, Jeff Urban. Jeff, how are you feeling today?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right. Now, before we get to Maryland shooting a bunch of bricks from three again, let's talk about, Laevon Johnson. Coming back to Maryland after a brief stint at the University of Texas. And I know in the portal, Terrapins have done okay by Boston College, it seems. And we know that they kept Mathis and Stewart and Malik and all the good stuff there. So if we're grading, Jeff, the offseason that has been for Mike Locksley trying to get this talent base up to snuff here, how would we doing here? On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being you're super terrific, where are we going with this one?
Yeah, Bob, I think, you know, the average fan who might not follow the recruiting as closely might give it a lower grade, but that's just because people aren't used to this new landscape. You know, half of the offseason now is retaining your own players, not just going to get players. And, you know, Mike Locke's plan all along has been to build around that freshman class from last season. As rough of a season as it was, I think it's one of the most talented classes they've had in decades. So they, you know, they brought back Zaire Mathis and Sidney Stewart, Malik Washington, obviously, basically all the other key guys. And so that's still going to be your core, but it also doesn't leave a ton of money to go get big name stars. So they've had some solid additions at spots where they need them. They've lost a few guys who, you know, they really could have used next year. No big names per se, but, you know, I'd give them, if you include actually re-signing guys from last year, I would say it's a B+.
Well, Bob mentioned it out the gate there, but men's basketball lost to UCLA on Saturday, 67-55. Another disappointing shooting performance, especially from three. And I guess, what do you make of this whole three-point shooting philosophy from Buzz in general? Because he's been speaking more on it here recently. Talked about it with us last Monday where, you know, he's okay with them taking the shots that they're taking. He says the selection or the shot diet, as he put it, is fine. But then you keep seeing these results, you know, 18% from three, 20% from three. I mean, at what point does it end, or they just go down with the ship here, letting it fly?
Yeah, it's been the three-point shooting has been so bad that they out-rebounded the other night. They won the rebounding battle by 19 and still managed to lose by, you know, 10 points because they shot 6 of 33 from three. At UCLA. So I don't think he's delusional, though. You know, he can see what everyone else can see, that they're not a good three-point shooting team. I think the issue is you don't have a lot of guys who can create shots. Otherwise, two guys, you know, Darius Adams and Andre Mills, the two freshman guards, are pretty skilled. You know, they have a natural talent getting into the lane, but they just aren't finishing well at all. So you take that out of the equation, or you consider that, you know, that weakness anyways, and then you take Pharrell Payne out of the equation in the middle, and you don't have anybody who you can throw it to in the paint who can back down and get you a bucket. So I think that's why he's just, you know, he's not going to say those things necessarily, spell it out like that, but I think that's why he just realizes that there's just going to be a lot of jumpers flying.
And collective effort, disappointing, but individually, is there anybody here? It was kind of hard to know, entirely new team. You know, all these guys are outsiders, but anybody in particular that you were expecting just a lot more out of as an individual? I mean, I could probably say it about every player besides Pharrell Payne, but anybody underwhelmed you?
You could say it a lot about a lot of guys for sure when your whole team is struggling as bad as they are. I mean, the obvious name is Miles Rice. You know, they brought him in to be the point guard, run the show, play probably 30-plus minutes a game. You know, be that kind of guy like we've seen recently, Jameer Young. Maybe not, you know, as quite a star of Jameer Young, but, you know, a guy who can be an upper-tier Big Ten starter. And, you know, he's really struggled all year. Obviously, Isaiah Watts came in with a solid reputation. He thought he'd be a good sixth man. He's struggled for a bunch of the year. So, and then obviously, like you said, the pain thing is a killer. Even though they weren't necessarily winning a lot of games with him, they would be a lot more competitive, at least in some of these games with him. And so it just worked out. You know, I think Elijah Saunders had a good game the other day. He's been up and down, but really no one has outperformed expectations is the biggest problem.
Now, I've seen this floated around on social media a little bit. I guess I just want to know if it's actually feels like it's legit, but some suggestion that Pharrell Payne could be shut down and we try to get like a medical red shirt and keep eligibility going. Do you think there's anything to that, or is that kind of a non-starter?
No, I know for a fact it's being discussed. You know, where things stand, obviously none of us are able to listen in on the conversations he might be having with Buzz Williams or his family, but I definitely can confirm that it's been discussed and he's thinking about it. Now, whether he does it, we'll see. He definitely would qualify for a medical red shirt. So, you know, that's with this season lost, you know, this season's been lost since the first 10 games or so. he's a lot more valuable to you next year. You know, you bring in Baba Olatunde and a pretty good freshman class, go get a couple guys out of the portal, and then if you can keep Payne, then you have a lot to work with right there. But, you know, the other question mark or the other variable there is, if he does decide to redshirt and retain another year of eligibility, which I don't know why anyone wouldn't, who's, you know, not on any NBA mock drafts and could probably make $2.5 or $3 million next year. If he does, he could still wait it out till the portal and see what his value is. So it's not like if he redshirts, you automatically get him back, but I know he is tight with Buzz Williams and the staff there. So, you know, to me, obviously not being inside of the situation and having all the concerns they have, it seems like a no-brainer.
Jeff Berman, InsideMDSports.com. Jeff, always appreciate the time. Have fun staying up late watching that USC-Maryland game tomorrow at 10:30 Eastern time, that tip-off.
Appreciate you guys having me.
All right, Jeff, everybody. Go back, reset the program for you. Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock, followed by playoff football. 7 o'clock, our coverage starts. Steelers trying to keep their season alive at home as dogs against the Houston Texans. If you missed the news over the weekend baseball-wise, Alex Bregman reaches a deal with the Chicago Cubs, 5-year deal. No trade, no opt-outs, nothing like that. Just, 5 years, 150-some mil, whatever it is. Apparently, the Red Sox actually offered more money. But remember, they signed him last year with an opt-out, which he exercised, of course. Pissed off Rafael Devers in the process because Devers had to move to first base. He wasn't feeling it. Eventually, he got himself traded to San Francisco. So now we sit here on January the 12th, 2026, and the Red Sox don't have Devers or Alex Bregman on their team. And as the Orioles have been very active and we think done a good job assembling a roster, not done yet. I mean, Yankees have been relatively quiet. Toronto, Toronto made the splash for Dylan Cease. But Boston, New York, the usual heavy hitters, if you will, when it comes to offseason spending and transactions, mm-hmm. not resonating the way that we expected that they would.
I'll give Boston some credit because I think they've been savvy in some of the trades they've made, like Sonny Gray, for example. Sure. So they haven't been like completely inactive. The Yankees are the bigger surprise to me. And just what are you waiting on? Because you can't even use the excuse of, well, this roster is good enough to get it done. You're really only looking for one piece and it's not even a big one to round out. No, I mean, they need a lot. And to not even make a swing in terms of starting pitching, that's really shocking because you're not going to have Gerrit Cole for the start of the season. And I don't think you have Rodon either, or somebody else is injured. So you're potentially navigating the first couple months without those guys again. And even when they come back, who's to say that there'll be a seamless transition back to who they were pre-injury? I mean, the complacency here is very shocking. They're all in on Bellinger, but if that blows up in their face, who are they left with for an outfielder?
Yeah, apparently they're an impasse there as well. And Jazz Chisholm duplicate what he did from a power output. And now you got to get Dole Anthony Volpe on the leather couch, get him straightened out, because that kid really hit the skids last year. And he won a gold glove as a rookie, and he was below average defensively last year.
But yeah, interesting point offensively. Like, let's say Jazz is as good as he was last year. Let's say Volpe's even better. Aaron Judge is otherworldly again.
Sure.
Is that enough? Because history has shown here that it's not. That even Aaron Judge playing like maybe one of the greatest batters to ever pick up a piece of lumber, it doesn't matter when they get to the playoffs. There's always something that's leading to their demise, whether it's him or not. I mean, even he, I would say this past year, he had those signature playoff moments more so where you couldn't even use the excuse of, oh, you know, regular season, all regular season numbers. He doesn't show up in October. No, he showed up. It just, they can't win. They can't get over the hump.
Yeah, and they need Jason Dominguez to start playing like this big-time prospect, Magic Bean, that he has been for quite some time. Inside Access coming up here in a matter of minutes. We have time for a couple of fun outs.
Yes, we do.
Let's do it.
Quick Draws Funhouse, sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com. 1057 The Fan.
First, we got Wally in Baltimore who asks, with a new head coach coming in, will the expectation for the team still be Super Bowl or bust in 2026?
Would it better be, or why were you firing your head coach? Because he didn't reach the Super Bowl or bust benchmark.
I think it's an interesting question, because who creates those kind of labels? Fans do, media does, and we were all over it heading into this year. So if that's something that's being created externally, yeah, it's not really up to them. You know, they could revamp the roster. They could nail the head coaching hire on paper, but would the public perception still be that, yeah, they're going to be right back in it? Or do you think some people would be a little turned off by them coming up so short of the preseason expectations? John was a big part of it, but make no mistake, I mean, you got to put even more emphasis on the players themselves. So I think, for me personally, without seeing what they're going to do, I might be more hesitant to assign that kind of label to them, even if I think they're going to be good, because I won't be able to get this past year out of my head.
Well, Lamar Jackson is the starting quarterback. The expectations are to be one of the best teams in the AFC and going into year 9. Mm-hmm. Now we're talking about windows closing. I mean, if they let his entire career, you know, you go to waste because they haven't even made a Super Bowl, much less win it. I think it's always Super Bowl or bust at that time.
That's the answer. Yeah. It should be for every team. Yeah.
I mean, hey, let's finish third and get a wild card. No, screw that. Get a home field advantage.
Next, we have Jake in Bel Air. More on Lamar and his time in his career right now. Lamar is more responsible than a coach for wasting his prime. Play well. Lead, stop being emotionally immature, and work on demeanor in big games.
Well, yeah, I mean, it goes back to the point I just said. The players are not absolved of criticism and blame here, and Lamar is certainly at the forefront of that. I mean, this is the part of that conversation that I don't get, is people just assume that Lamar isn't being held to a high standard. No, he is. Look at the way he's talked about nationally and locally. He's held to a very high standard. I don't think he gets away with anything. I mean, when you're the quarterback of the team and you win those regular season accolades, higher expectations come with it, and he's fallen short of it. And I think, look, there's been the games that look Justin Herbert-like, where you're like, oh, that was not good at all. But then I've also seen, you know, Bill's game last year where he did everything you could have wanted him to in the second half to win that game and had him there. He delivered the pass. He delivered it on the money, hit Mark Andrews right in the chest. He did what was required to win that game.
Damn wet gloves. By the way, last Sunday in Pittsburgh in the fourth quarter, he was pretty strong in my humble opinion. Mm-hmm. Put him in a position to win that game too.
The two go-ahead touchdown drives and then what should have been the go-ahead field goal drive. Three times.
Yeah, so I got no problem with him per se. For sure.
But deserving of blame when things go wrong, that's fair.
He gets criticized more than any player on the team.
The wise words of Todd Monken, you can't take all the accolades when it's going good and then just hide from the blame when the going gets tough.
That's
true for everybody.
That's going to do it for us. We'll be back tomorrow. Turn It Up Tuesday. Jimmy Patso is going to be joining us in studio tomorrow from noon to 2. Got a lot of hoops to talk about with the coach.
Got to get my caffeine in.
I think Jimmy is a walking cup of coffee. But we'll be back tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Total Request, or Turned Up Tuesday, I should say. Steve Bisciotti, Eric DaCosta, meet with the media tomorrow as well at 2 o'clock. We'll try to preview that one and whatever happens in the world of sports over the next few hours. Like, you know, Houston or Pittsburgh going home tonight. Who are we going to be talking about tomorrow? And maybe the Orioles can make a move that'll make us all warm and fuzzy on a Turn It Up Tuesday as well. For Alex Gamponi and Nolan McGraw and Bob Haney, stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.